Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Today is May 11th, and we are back. Derek Shelton is no longer the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and we got some thoughts. First series under Donnie Kelly, the Buccos take the dub. You're listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast.
Yins, guys. Thank you for listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast, where we talk all about them Pittsburgh Pirates and that. My name is Josh. The voice is coming back. I'm joined, as always, by my brother, Jake. What's up, Jake?
Hey, man. What's going on?
I got my clear voice. We're going to get this thing back.
Nice.
Two pumps right before we got going. The voice is coming back. I know it sounds a little like you can tell, but we're here. We're good.
We're vibing.
We're vibing. So much going on. Right?
So much, man.
I got to get my
chest hair, guts out. Bucks win, baby. Come on. Come on.
He had a scorcher to win the game tonight.
You know what? When you're going good, it doesn't matter. You know right. What I mean? You're going to find a way to drive in runs. And Joey Bart's been going good, I guess you could say. Right?
Yeah.
Jake did the intro, not me. Yeah. So, yeah. I still want Bart to hit more than singles, but...
Yes.
Beggars can't be choosers here, right? He had a great series. But yeah, I just want fair. There to be more slug.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. It's fair.
All right.
You know, it would be... Are we not going to go down that road right now?
Go ahead. Go ahead real quick. Because here's a... Well, let me just preface this a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about the series right now. We're going to get into Derek Shelton. We're going to get into our thoughts about all of that stuff. Obviously, the big stuff that's going on. Like, that's going to be the big point of today. But, I want to talk about, we could talk a little bit about the series and the fact that vibes are good right now before we get into all that. So, yeah, go ahead.
You know, you're just talking about Joey Bart, you know, we want more than singles, beggars can't be choosers, blah, blah, blah. You know, and listen, in the realm of catching right now around the league, it's not like we need an elite hitter, but I just want the dude to catch the ball.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, just get... I honestly, if he keeps hitting singles, if he can just catch the ball better, I'm good.
Right.
I'm more upset with him as a catcher than I am a hitter. I do want the slug, but I really don't care about it as much as I just care about him catching the ball and blocking the ball, all that good stuff.
OG brings up a good point. Does everyone become singles hitter under Haig? That's something we might need to be watching for.
Yeah, that's true.
Obviously, like, you know, too early to make that call, but man, that's something to watch for. I mean, it, like Bucko Mike put in there, 301 right now. You know what I mean? You know me, get on base. If you're doing that by hitting 301, awesome. If you're doing it by hitting 230, awesome. I don't care. Get on base, right? Yeah. And right now he's getting on base with singles, and that's fine. I do think at some point this lineup needs more slug. And, you know, it's really hard to do the things that they've been doing. You know, you talk about the three runs they scored today. It's a single, a walk, and then a double steal sets everything up. And then a wild pitch, like you're gifted one, you get the runner to third, right? And then it's another, you get the other run in from third. And then you have Reynolds. So Reynolds walked, sac fly, Reynolds moves up, and then the Bart hit that Reynolds scored on is the same thing. But it's like, that's a lot to happen to get three runs.
Yeah.
And you see how quick it can happen for other teams. And really, I mean, we'll talk about Majinski in a minute, but like, you know, I the three run homer and the, you know what I mean? Just getting a couple guys on, hitting home runs, any of that, we're just not going to see here outside of some instances. You know what I mean? It's just not a part of this lineup. And I don't know how often you will be able to put things together. Doug Smith says, I think that's the definition of in the margins. It could be, but like in today's game in 2025, like that's extremely difficult to do. You're not going to get that wild pitch. You know what I mean? That three might become two without the wild pitch easily. You know what I mean? And so there's a lot of things like that. That's like the way that pitching is today. It's very hard to string together hits and moments like that. And I think that alone is what makes this team so difficult to score runs consistently, because that is not something that's easy to do.
Yeah.
And it's not something that you can consistently do, right? There's only one Luis Arraez. and unless you have nine of them, he doesn't really do a whole lot for you, right? He's going to come through occasionally, but like that type of player is difficult to be super effective in today's game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And without the lineup that he's in, it makes it difficult. Like, it took him a minute to find a place where he was actually valuable. And it seems like he's found a place in San Diego where they can utilize what he is. And like I said, we only bring him up all the time because there's only one of them in today's game.
Yeah.
You know, although is Jacob Wilson possibly becoming something close to that, right? Refuses to walk, just out there slapping hits all the time. Yeah. He's got a little more pop though.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Miles says those runs were college baseball runs. I'll take it, but I don't want to rely on it. Right. You can't.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's 100% it. You can't rely on those things happening over and over again.
Yeah.
That's 100% it. So anyway, talk about Carmen Majinski today. Only two punchies, but like, he's attacking. And I mean, he had seven whiffs, but he had, I think, 14 called strikes. So it seemed like there was a little more of like the way that he attacked was a little more effective in this way. But it's not the swing and miss. It's not, you know what I mean? He was able to go a little bit deeper into this. And maybe I'll do a Donnie Kelly thing right out of the gate here. Right. And then maybe come back to it. But maybe a little preview of the Shelton conversation later. But I got to tell you, man, if you didn't think that Shelton needed to go, or if you think he was a scapegoat, remember, scapegoat means blamed for someone else's faults.
Yeah.
Shelton had faults. I don't consider this a scapegoat.
No.
He needed to go. Now, there are other people that need to go. We'll get into all that. But he needed to go. But Donnie Kelly, after this game, Noah asked the question. He's gone exactly two times through the order. His last two starts. Was that the plan? And maybe you adjusted? Which, imagine adjusting a plan. Listen to this quote, Jake. Listen to this quote. You know that... You know what? There really was no plan going into it. You know, we're just going in, watching what he's doing, how he's going about it, how his stuff looks, and evaluate as the game goes on. What?
You mean that's a thing?
That is a 180 degree turn from what was last week.
Yeah. That you mean you're allowed to just kind of have feel in baseball? You're allowed to feel things out? I mean, I understand, like, okay, maybe he shouldn't, maybe not say we have no plan. But.
Well, the plan was to see how it was going. Like, the plan was he's a starting pitcher.
He had a plan, but.
There wasn't a plan of when we were going to take him out.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I love it. That's the coaching that I love seeing. That's the coaching I can resonate with the most. I don't know. It's good to see somebody actually evaluating what they see, not just what the paper says.
Yeah. Seth says Jim Leland said this the other day, and that is cool. So, dude, I'm telling you.
Played for Jim Leland and coached for Jim Leland?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Jim Leland ties, though, right? You heard him say when he got his press conference, he was like, yeah, I mean, I went trick-or-treating at Jim Leland's house, and then I played for him. You know what I mean? So, I mean, like, there's a lot there, I think. There's a relationship there, but yeah. Doug says that he kind of feels like Donnie Kelly got Radley Haddad booted. That might be one that, like, initially I was a little like, ooh, I don't know if I love that. Only because I've heard Paul Skeens talk highly of Radley Haddad. But it's more, right, played for him for 6 years, Doug said, for Jim Leland. So, but yeah, I mean, the Haddad thing was interesting because I was under the impression that he was mostly just working with pitching, and the whole like game strategy, game planning thing was like for pitchers. But you know, you read things, you find out it's more than that. And it also was a lot of like when you were taking guys out, what relief pitchers you were going to use today and all those things. And those are things that Derek Shelton stuck to. And so a lot of those in-game decisions that we might put on Shelton might be a combination of Shelton and Haddad. And it seems like whether that was Kelly doing that or whether it was just like the decision to say, hey, these two, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever it was, it doesn't matter. It's, you know, they're gone. And it seems like this kind of a quote and how they treated Carmen Majinski today, which, by the way, I'm not all the way sold yet on him being a starter, but today was a good sign, right?
Yeah.
So it was one of those things where it was like, okay, I'll hold. I was done. I'll hold. We'll see. I understand what's going on here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got to see it more than once. Twice now, you could say.
Yeah.
But it's been twice. So, yeah, no. It feels great to get a series win, though. And there were so many things throughout this series that you just couldn't help but think, like, wow, that's really different from what we've seen.
Yeah. So when Donnie Kelly goes the distance and finishes the game, we're 100% winning percentage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he gets run in his second game as manager, which that's fine. Also, maybe a little old school, I guess. But, I mean, it's not really not anything else, but yeah, that was fun. I like seeing that. I don't like seeing Reynolds get thrown out, but there's enough in the chat to say, I don't know if it really hurts to have Reynolds out of the lineup right now. Obviously it does, but sometimes it's questionable. I mean, when it's Tommy Pham going in for him, it hurts.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, you know, it does feel good though. You get a series win. Like I said, there were a lot of things that were done in this series that I felt were different from the way things were going. Not performance, but decisions and, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. Yeah. And so like, it's not a quick fix, Jake. This thing isn't repaired. It's not, you know what I'm saying? You're going to see a lot of similar things. I mean, he was the bench coach under Shelton, but there were clear, convincing things that were different. And if you're not seeing that, then maybe you're on that list of saying like Shelton probably wasn't the guy to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like I said, we're going to get into that here. I mean, that's the meat and potatoes of this right now, but, this isn't it's good to get a series win. This isn't a quick fix. This thing isn't revived. It's not, the episode title is We Are Back. We meant me and Jake are back. I don't think the Pirates are back right now. There's still a lot of work to be done there. However,
that's funny.
You know, it's, you need something like that right away. But I, like I said, I don't think this is a quick fix. And I don't know, maybe that takes us into our Shelton conversation. Is there anything else you had?
I don't think so.
Okay. Worth saying, hope O'Neill Cruz is good. Yeah. Obviously the lower back. I thought for sure it was going to be hamstring. Maybe we need to figure out what's going on with lower backs in this organization. That's probably something we need to focus on. Why is everybody's lower backs hurting? This seemed like a freak injury though, but I don't know. Miles asks, will you guys lose your minds if Bay gets a center field start while Cruz is bruised? probably not. He's on the roster. He's probably going to get a start. It wouldn't surprise me if he does.
He's had to have gotten a little bit better.
Well, I mean, he was playing better in AAA. It's just, he's one of those guys where it's like, you've either seen enough or you haven't. Personally, I've seen enough. But he's fast. I don't know. He is what he is.
Yeah.
But if he's on the roster, then you have to use him. And so get him off the roster would be the best idea. But like, he was the hot hand. Billy Cook is not the hot hand right now. So this is what you have to go with, right? And Jack, while he's doing well in AAA right now, it's not long enough. He was bad enough here that he needs a longer stint if he's going to ever work out. He needs a longer stint to get things working. So no, I don't think, I don't think so. I think you're going to have to use your players. This is actually a good one here. Henry Davis, I could have avoided seeing lowlights of that. The contact play, maybe worth talking about. Shelton ran the contact play. They all run the, I mean, Major League Baseball probably runs the contact play more than I think a lot of fans would like to believe. This is possible. If you're an aggressive team, you're going to run the contact play. Me personally, if there's a guy on first, I'm running contact because I want to stay out of the double play. Right. So I'm always going to run on contact, make them throw home. At least if he's out, I don't have two outs. If that ends the inning or gets me to whatever it is, right. I'm running on contact because I want to stay out of two outs. We know how important outs are. Right. And so that, you know, maybe we could talk about sacrifice bunts too and whether or not we give people outs. But the thing is like, that's when you run on contact for me. That's how I would do it. I would do it to stay out of a double play. In that scenario, like, I'm just not doing it. We've had Key Brian Hayes hung up where he tried not to go, but like Arenado was right, or Arenado or Machado, whoever it was. I just know it was one of those fantastic ones. Anyway, it's like, it's a play where like, if he would have went back to third, he probably had been just tagged out at third. So that was a mistake. Like when you're running on contact, if it goes to the pitcher, you don't want to run, but contact is you're running because if you wait till it gets past the pitcher, the second baseman's throwing you out. So that's what makes it hard. It doesn't matter if it's going to the pitcher or third baseman or whatever. As soon as he makes contact, you're going hard. And Henry Davis, if he slides, he's still out. I've heard a lot of takes. I know Greg Brown talked about it live. And he says, if he slides to the outside, maybe he's safe. Probably not. You know what I mean? Like the throw was to the catcher's right, but only because Davis went inside and made him do it. So if he stays down the line, the throw is possible, you know, probably more accurate. He was out by a long shot.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't close at all.
And so he's going to be out either way. Like that went to the third baseman. Sure. He could make an errant throw. He didn't, he was going to be out forever. So he's just trying to make something happen. Get in the way of the throw. As Bucko Mike says, I've seen airplanes take a straighter line home.
It was an absolute purposeful, not straight line.
Right.
Like he's trying to get in the throwing lane.
Yep.
Yeah, I have nothing. I don't care about his line to home. I don't want to see the contact play there. I don't like that call per se.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing is it doesn't have anything to do with Henry Davis at this point, right? That's the play that was called.
Yeah.
You're running on contact. So it just doesn't, and anything else, it just doesn't matter, right? He's going home. He's probably getting thrown out. If something crazy happens, he scores. Otherwise, and that's what they're doing. They're being aggressive. They're trying to make the other team make a mistake.
Yeah.
And this is the major leagues. They're just not going to make a mistake that much.
You know, this is a...
Go ahead, put that back up. I clicked on it at the same time as you.
I was like, what happened? You could get in a rundown of that situation and maybe... who was the hitter? Was it Pham? Who hit the ball? I can't remember, but they, you know, try to get them to be able to take second base in a rundown, maybe. I mean, that's a good point. I can see that.
Yeah.
Especially with Davis, because he does have like some agility to stay in it long enough.
Yeah. And the other thing is the plays behind you. I don't know though.
Yeah. He probably had plenty of time to stop. At least if he would have stopped and tried to run back towards third and they tag him out pretty quick, at least he tried to do something different.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, I get it, but
I
don't know.
Probably a little it's probably a little frustrating in that when you know contact play and it's hit to the third baseman, you're probably thinking, but like, yeah, there's not really much you can do there. Don't run the contact play with a guy on third and one out. You know what I mean? Let's just go there. Let that out go. I mean, the Braves didn't, and they ended up scoring a run. So they stayed put at third, they ended up scoring a run. So you know what I mean?
Oh, if Frazier got up right after that and hit a line drive to center field, like that would have been the game if he doesn't run.
Yeah.
But the contact plays on. I'm not blaming Davis.
You know? But that's the thing is like, I don't like saying that because obviously, as you know, everything is different. You're pitching to Frazier different. You know, the pressure's different. It's the whole thing, right? Yeah. So it's hard to say like what happened after. It's, you know,
I like my chances. I'm looking at the on deck circle when I'm calling a play as well. And if I have Adam Frazier coming up next, I'm probably not running the contact play because even though I don't think Adam Frazier is like some stud hitter, he does have a knack for hitting in big spots.
He's a guy who makes contact. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's I think if you're still in the chat, Jim Rosati put up a tweet about run expectancy and the contact play and all this stuff. And I thought it was really interesting. And obviously, you know, it's Twitter. He's not going to be able to break down every scenario. And I think that brings up a good point is you can look at run expectancy and you can say like, okay, well, there's this much more of a chance. Is it really worth it? You know what I mean? And that's general, right? And, you know, I saw a lot of the replies that were saying, well, you used MLB averages. What about Pirate averages? They're much lower. But that doesn't matter. Like, that's not the point. But there is something to be said about who's on deck. You know what I mean? And sometimes that makes you more aggressive. Sometimes it makes you less. If you've got a swing and miss guy up next, you know, like a Canario or a Gorski or somebody like that. Yeah, maybe the contact play is a smart move. You know what I mean? Try to force something to happen because you just don't know what's next. Or a fly ball guy up next. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you don't want something like that. So there's a lot that goes into it that's more than that. But the Pirates seem to just say, we want to be aggressive. We're running the contact play. And it doesn't matter who's on deck. It doesn't matter who's up. It doesn't matter who's on third. Like, you can't ever, in my opinion, run contact play with Joey Bart on third other than a runner on first trying to stay out of double play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's the thing. So, you know, it is what it is. But I think that's my piece on the contact play because I think that is a big thing. They're going to run it. And like I said, for me, it's to stay out of a double play. I'm not running it. Otherwise, I'm giving my batters an opportunity to come through.
Yeah.
And if they don't, like, I'd rather my guys come through than rely on the other team making a mistake.
Right.
In that scenario.
Yep. I agree with that 100%.
All right. Let's talk about Derek Shelton, Jake. I'll start with an easy one. Time? Pastime? Early?
Oh, pastime should have been happening this offseason.
Yeah.
Like, I think we all know that.
Well, there's a lot of people still Well, it's funny. I'm trying to think, like, I've got all these thoughts. I've got all these notes. Obviously there's a lot that we could get into. I think the national media is, they acted like this didn't need to happen. And everyone local is like, finally, you know what I mean? The thing is like, yeah, the national media is not watching these games. They're not seeing what's going on. Absolute lifeless in St. Louis. Like, it was bad. When you watch those games, it was bad. They were a dead team. Now, I know losing does that to you. But there's also something like, it, you could tell that there was, whether it was a lack of motivation or whether they were just all the way down, it was lifeless. And whether or not that has anything to do with Shelton, like, it's early, Jake. You're not going to the playoffs. That's already gone. This team is not going to the postseason. As far as like postseason aspiration, the season is over. Mm-hmm. Now, there's obviously a lot left of the season. It's not over, and there's a lot more that can happen here, but playoffs is not one of those things.
Right.
At this point, okay, well, let's start with this, because I've heard a lot saying the team's terrible. Okay, I don't believe that. I think, you know, we can start with Brian Reynolds, right? He's playing terrible, and that's a big bat and a very important player on this team, because they didn't go out and do what they needed to do in the offseason.
Yeah.
It makes those guys even more important. And the thing is this team should be, I mean, I'm going to say this because this was my prediction, but I think this is a 500 team. So it's not like I'm sitting here saying like, this team's awesome. No, but they're a lot better than 12-26.
Yeah.
Which is what they were under Derek Shelton. A lot better than that. The talent that exists on this team right now is a lot better than that. That doesn't mean I'm saying that they're good, but they should be around a 500 team. Now, I'll say something about, we're not going to get into Sherrington. Let's just call it though. Like, Sherrington needs to go too, right? We understand that. Travis Williams needs to go. There needs to be a shakeup. I actually agree with the decision not to do it right now. There are fears there. In like how he's going to handle trades this season. And I would like somebody else to do it, but now's not the time to do that. Now's not the time to give up on these players when there is something to play for. Like I said, it's not the postseason, but it's to grow and to get better. And to, this team doesn't need a full on blow up rebuild. There's enough here. They just need a commitment from the ownership group and whoever ends up controlling this front office next year to go out and actually get players that are, that can be put into the middle of the order here. That's the problem. I've talked about this. There is depth here. There's just no starters. You just need those. You need the better starters, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So Ben Sherrington made one quote about squinting. I don't think you have to squint that hard to see a stronger team on the field in 2025. Now, when you say the word stronger, I think this is a fair comment, because right now you have Triolo, Frazier, and let's say, and at the time, Emmanuel Valdez, right? Horwitz, Gonzalez, and IKF are better than those three. That's three batters in the lineup that are better, right? I mean, let's say Ben Sherrington, let's say this, to be fair about if there's any Horwitz haters out there, we don't know yet. But Ben Sherrington believes in him. So I have to, you have to take that into consideration that when Ben Sherrington makes that quote, he believes in Horwitz. So that's what makes that statement fair, whether you do or not, right? For him to say that, he believes in Horwitz. So I think that is there. But like the fact that that the infield, almost the entire infield, is injured, I don't think that you have to squint all that hard to see a strong, I'm not saying that you'll actually see a strong team, Jake, but stronger than what it is right now.
Yeah.
And eventually, if I squint pretty hard, I see Tommy Pham DFA'd. So that makes the team better too. When I squint, I don't see Tommy Pham anymore. He's gone.
Yeah.
Off into the sunset to retire. So for me, it gets better. I'll get something for that.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you all the way. I don't think that was an absurd thing for him to say.
There were some absurd things he said, though.
Sure.
Let's just say that.
I just don't know that that's one that you need to
that's
pick
not
on.
One. I think this team should be better. I still don't think they're a playoff team, but they're better than what we've seen.
Yeah.
If Brian Reynolds is Brian Reynolds, and we could say like Brian Reynolds is this, and there's a lot in the chat if you guys are looking. There's a lot in the chat. I don't share that kind of stuff on the screen, but it's there and it's not untrue. But the thing is like he's better than what he's been. So you could say like, well, here's his numbers. He stinks. No. He's not playing well, but he certainly doesn't stink. He's a good player.
Yeah.
So, I see eventually when I squint, I see Majinski moving to the bullpen for Bubba Chandler. I see a possibility of, Mike Burrows had 11 Ks today. Does he have some sort of impact at some point this season? Does Thomas Harrington have an impact at some point during this season? Is there, you know what I mean? Are there other things that happen? I don't think Hunter Barco maybe quite yet, but who knows? I can see things that are better for this team in 2025.
Yeah.
This isn't enough, but this early in the season, I absolutely want to make a move to try to right the ship a little bit, to try to start getting this group of guys to learn how to win baseball games.
Yeah.
If they play 500 ball the rest of the way, they're probably, I think the numbers would say they still lose 100 games, right? But if they play 500 ball under Donnie Kelly, that's better than what it was.
Yeah.
Even though you didn't salvage the 100 loss, even though, Jared Jones, this is a good thing. Cheryl says, I didn't even mention Jared Jones. He should be back late July, I think, and barring a setback, August. But either way, he should be back.
Yeah.
Bucko Mike says Burrows comes first. Matt says, you guys just got to keep believing. And that's the thing is like, I know that what I'm saying sounds like overly positive, but like, let's keep it in perspective here. We're not saying that this team's going to be good. Like we're not saying that they're going to go on some magical run. And you know what I'm saying? Like that they've already thrown that in the can. And that's the thing that's hard. But could you then say, well, you're 2-1 under Don Kelly. How does that go the rest of the way out? Can you play a couple games over 500? I would enjoy watching a team, at least that's competitive. If they can start scoring some runs, at least I could enjoy watching baseball because I'm going to watch baseball. Here's the thing. We're not on this earth for very long. I'm not going to skip a season of baseball. Not in my life. I'm watching baseball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If just to backtrack a little bit.
I'm not going to deprive myself of baseball.
87 losses is where they'd be at if they've played 500 ball the rest of the year.
What?
They have 27 losses. There's 121 games left.
Oh, man, I just crushed my mic. I'm really sorry, guys.
Didn't hear it very much.
Okay, good.
60 more losses. They're at 87 losses. So if they go one game, say they go 61-60 the rest of the way out. We've played 41 games. So 87, 88 losses. If we go 500 ball the rest of the year, we don't lose 100 games.
Okay. I thought I ran the numbers in it. I thought that we still would, but
14-27 is 41.
Listen, today's my first day off of the meds.
That's fine.
I guarantee you I ran those numbers under these meds. And I that's not even in my notes. I just remember earlier this week looking at that. Dude, I was like loopy and wild, man. This stuff killed me.
Yeah, there's 121 games left. So say we go 60-61, then we lose 88 games.
Okay. So we can still salvage the 100 loss season.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
So I think, if we do that, then, Don Kelly did his job.
Yeah.
Because, we don't even know if it's going to be there. We don't even know if it's going to be 500. But there's a little bit of play here, right? I'm just not... Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out where my head is with this. Because like I said, this isn't fixed. The offense was not fantastic this weekend.
Right.
You know, we won games the way that we thought we could win games this season. And that's not a sustainable thing, which is why I didn't think that they would do better than 500.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I don't think you're going to see you fire a manager. You're not going to see a complete turnaround overnight as far as like a struggling offense isn't all of a sudden going to be
right.
You know, fixed.
Right.
But take the wins. Okay. So we got the wins. However we got them, build on that. That's when you can actually start get a little bit of momentum. Can go a long way. Now keeping that momentum going when we still got to play the Mets next and then the Phillies, like,
oh,
it's gonna be hard.
It's a gauntlet. Yep.
Yeah, so I'll take the series win and I'll be happy about that right now.
Yeah,
and we'll just keep moving from there as far as, you know, what is the coaching staff doing differently under Kelly than they were doing under Shelly.
Right. Seth asks, can they go on a 20-8 run? If they keep hitting this way, no.
No.
But also, they play the games for a reason. There was a worse team, a worse roster, and a worse lineup that went 20-8 previously.
Let's talk about that 20-8 run could possibly happen in, say, August.
It's
a possibility.
Yeah. You have to look at the schedule.
Sure. But I'm just thinking you get healthy bats back. You know, Reynolds is probably back to Reynolds. You get a lot back.
Yeah.
Come around that time of year.
We should get Reynolds back in June.
Yeah.
Once again, read the chat. I feel like saying it, there, but yeah. So listen, I want to go back to the national things because, you know what I mean? Obviously tried to watch all the coverage and all the things is, I heard some statements. I'll even say it, foul territory. Eric Kratz made the statement about Derek Shelton and about how many talk to the players, how many guys got better under Shelton. And I immediately was like, I think that's the point.
Yeah.
And my thought was, and I said it in a group chat that I'm in, like, you know what? Here, I'll even give you the phone. First guy to call, Jack Suwinski. Give him a call. Ask him.
Yeah.
He got worse.
Yeah.
Whatever reason it was, you know what I mean? But the thing is like, man, I really don't think a lot of players got that much better. I think that's our problem.
Yeah, it's definitely a problem.
And why is that, Jake? Because a guy gets called up and Shelton lets him sit on the bench.
Yeah.
And he plays Adam Frazier.
Why did he get called up, Josh? Because he was hot.
Yeah. So first thing you want to do?
Sit him on the bench.
Cool him down.
Jump in that cold shower. I'm sorry. It's one thing if you're calling somebody up because it's just like, oh crap, we got to call somebody up. This guy's went down. We got to bring somebody up. But no, we like part of it was that, but we were like, well, this guy's actually hot right now.
Yeah.
Let's bring him up.
Yep.
The whole point that we've said this since the offseason, say the Adam Frazier signing, right? He's depth. If anything happens, you bring somebody up from AAA, they become the starter.
Leapfrog.
Did not happen.
Nope.
Did not happen.
Well, to be fair, though, nobody was really hot at that time. Like, Nick York was struggling.
I get that. But then once you get to see somebody that is getting hot or that has been hot, when they come up, go ahead and do the leapfrog at that point. You bridge a gap.
Right.
That's injuries. That's baseball. That's, you know, that happens.
Right. But this has happened all the time, though. You know what I mean? You don't get a run. I mean, Gorski's a good example. Was hot, brought him up, first game, epic home run, the whole nine yards, sits for three games after that.
Mm-hmm. And hasn't done much since.
I mean, there's been some times, and you're going to see it now because he's going to get a run now that Manny Valdez is hurt. So you're going to get a run at first base from Gorski, which, by the way, is his second position.
Yeah.
That's why somebody said earlier in the chat, Gorski should be getting a start in center field. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely should be. You got to, you know, figure out. I mean, you have it figured. You don't have to figure it out. Triolo plays first and Peggy plays short. And then you do too. You give Peguero an opportunity to get a run of games to play and see what he can do. Get his, you know, get his feet underneath him. Yeah. Get a run of games to go. Sheldon would never do that. It would constantly be exactly how he handled Matt Gorski. So, you know, give a guy a run. Give a guy a few games. If a guy hits a home run, he's got to play tomorrow.
Yeah.
But they have all this stuff planned ahead of time. There has to be some feel. And I hope we see that from Kelly. But there has to be some feel.
Yeah. And I think we will. I really do.
We did with Canario already this week. So, you know, we'll see. Anytime the pressure got on, this team caved. We could talk about the hot start and all of a sudden you're in the mix and then it caved. You could talk about going into the end of the year last year where you were in position to maybe do something. Now, granted, we could say Ben Sherrington made an awful trade bringing in BDLC. But sure, either way, it caved.
Yeah.
The pressure got put on and it caved. And then this season started with pressure. It began with pressure saying it's time to win. And it was 12-26.
Yeah.
That's on the manager, man.
Yeah.
I understand the players have to play and the players are holding themselves accountable and they're saying, listen, you could fire the manager, but we're the ones that are going to get the job done or not. That's fine. But the manager is the biggest voice in that room.
Yeah.
He does carry weight. This is not a, there's not some fantasy land where like, well, the manager really doesn't mean anything. Yes, he does. That's the guy. That's the guy on the field. That's the guy in the clubhouse, in the dugout. That's the guy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It does mean something. We've all played. We've all had a head coach or a manager or whatever you call them. You know, that's the guy.
Yeah.
Without question. We've played this game. We've been on this field. Now, I know we didn't play with a general manager above us. You know what I'm saying? And things like that.
Yeah.
But the idea is that that's it. Like, it does matter. That's your day in and day out boss. Mm-hmm. It 100% matters. And shaking that off to say that it doesn't. Now, like I said, there's problems all the way up, Jake. There's no question. There's problems all the way up. I'm gonna continue to conditionalize this in case somebody catches a piece of this. But like, right. So I'm gonna continue to conditionalize this. But like, to say that the manager isn't anything, if he's not, then that's on the manager still, because he should be.
Yeah,
it should be a big difference. I think outside of just in-game decisions, which we know Shelton was stubborn about. Whatever their plan was, that's what he would stick to. There's no feel, right? Occasionally you'd get some feel. But I think a manager carries more weight in the game that you're playing. Once that season starts, I think it is a big deal.
Yeah.
That's all you got. Let's talk about...
Listen, you're hit the nail on the head. There's not a lot extra to say on that.
Okay, let's talk about accountability, because I know that this is the biggest thing right now, because Sherrington obviously said that him and Shelton are going to be accountable together. And then, you know, now Shelton's gone. Sherrington's still there. Well, guess what, guys? They're not accountable together anymore. Derek Shelton is no longer accountable.
Right.
There's no... he's gone. So when I think of accountability, I think of the day in and day out accountability. The ultimate accountability is you lose your job, right? The ultimate. Yeah. But that's the ultimate, right?
Yeah.
Accountability, though, is different than that. It's a daily thing. And it's something that is, you know, hey, when you make mistakes, I will call you out on that. Hey, when you... do this. I'll make sure that you know that I know that you do this or that you did this. And so, you know, whatever that means, The relationship is now ended. There's no more accountability if you're not working together anymore. So, yes, it's absolutely broken. Does that mean that Ben Sherrington is not accountable? No, but he's just not accountable to Shelton anymore. So, like, right. I don't even understand how that even works. You think Shelton was actually holding Ben Sherrington accountable? Probably not.
No.
Like, it doesn't. It's not a two-way street. No. But we all have friends, right, that hold you accountable, that you know, that tell you when you're being a bad husband or a bad father or a bad friend or whatever. They're going to call you out on that, right? Yeah. They're going to make sure, you know, iron sharpens iron, all that kind of stuff. And to me, like, that's accountability. And when I hear Donnie Kelly talk about accountability, I hear that stuff. And so, like, when I hear, oh, that guy didn't run to first today, he should be benched for a game. That's not always what accountability is. It's going to him where you and I, as fans, are never going to see it. Going to him saying, I need you to run that out. And if that continues to happen, we're going to sit you. But it's the account, like, you don't just go straight there. You know what I mean? The accountability is giving them the opportunity to right it and calling them out when they do it wrong behind the scenes, not embarrassing them out in front. That's not accountability. That's a bad friend or a bad manager or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
So, I think there is a time that stuff like that needs to happen. And under Shelton, it never did, right? And we remember.
Or at least it seemed to not.
It seemed to not. But we remember when Clint Hurdle sat Andrew McCutchen for a series and then turned everything around, right? Because there was probably a series of things that happened. You know what I'm saying? And it became, let's clear your head, dude. You know what I mean? This is different. Now, that was not really like making mistakes. That was more just like he wasn't playing well.
Yeah.
But the point is, you know, you do have to be, you have to be able to, you have to be able to figure that stuff out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And there's obviously a lot of things that happen behind the scenes that we should never see. If we do, it's probably a sign of the things being a mess.
Yeah.
So
there's probably going to be a Netflix documentary about it.
You know what I mean? So yes, it's the accountability thing is always like a really touchy subject to me because I'm like, you know, I think that's super important. I feel like we never heard that kind of stuff from Shelton.
Yeah.
And here's the worst part about it. And this one I keep bringing this stuff back to Don Kelly. I'm not sure Don Kelly's the long-term answer, but everything that you hear about him says he's going to be a good manager. That he, you know, without question, even if this wasn't his opportunity, there would have been one.
Yeah.
And one of the things I'll say is recently you kept hearing Shelton say things like, we just got to execute pitches. We just got to come through right there. We just got to do this. And he constantly made comments about, I made the right move. The player didn't come through. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And let's talk today, Sunday's game. Tanner Rainey comes into the game. You know that your bullpen is thrown consecutive days, all that kind of stuff. You know you need guys like Tanner Rainey, possibly Colin Holderman, which he didn't go to, Joey Wentz. You need those guys to come through. They have to step up. This is a 26-man roster. There's 13 pitchers there. I got to use them. Tanner Rainey comes in, single, double. What was it? Single, double, single, something like that. Walk, single, single, double, walk. Loads the bases. Shelton would have left him in to try to get that last out. 100% he would have left him in. Instead, Don Kelly comes out and he gets Joey Wentz. Now, Joey Wentz coming into this opportunity has inherited 9 runners on the season. 6 of them have scored. You just got to come through. I need you right now. I know what the track record says, but I need you right now. We've still got a couple innings to play here. I can't not go to you now.
Yeah.
Joey Wentz gives up the double, all 3 runs scored. That's now 9 of 12 inherited runners, Jake. That's a bad relief pitcher.
Yeah.
But he's got to come through. You have to be able to rely on him. Okay. He gets out of the inning, tie game. But here's what Don Kelly said after the game about Tanner Rainey. Instead of he needs to execute pitches, Don Kelly said, yeah, that's on me. I had him warming up, and Brucky had thrown a lot in this game, and they kept sending Brucky back out, right? Three ups for Brucky. Incredible job by Brucky to come through there when the team really needed him. But Tanner Rainey had been throwing. We might use him here. Oh, no, we're going to go with Brucky. We might use him here. And so Don Kelly said, that's my fault because he was in the bullpen too long. First off, probably not. He has to execute pitches. But the manager doesn't just say it at the microphone. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You need Tanner Rainey to come through. He didn't. And so that's fine, right? And those things are going to happen. But the fact is, Don Kelly immediately said, yeah, that's on me. And even had a reason why it was on him. That's what a manager does, Jake. That's the guy you want to go for.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Shelton this whole year has just been throwing his guys under the bus over and over again.
Yeah. I hadn't even really thought about that, to be honest. And then it makes total sense. Yeah.
And Shelton wasn't always wrong.
No, but you still don't do that. You just don't. Exactly what Donnie Kelly did. And you kind of take the rap to save your players the embarrassment or whatever you want to say.
And
they want to go play for, they want to do better the next time so that you don't 100%. Have to do that.
And it wasn't even like he made an excuse either, because Shelton would do that too. He didn't even make the excuse like, well, yeah, I mean, Rainey was out too long. Maybe he just didn't have, because he was, you know what I mean? We don't like to do that. No, it was just like, that's on me. Just straight there. That's on me. I had him up too long. And that's a thing, right? Can you speak to that at all? What that's like if you're in the bullpen and you're kind of like, I warmed up. Now I'm kind of waiting. I got to kind of warm up again and waiting. Like, that's not good.
No.
Why is that not good?
It's weird because when you get hot, you're ready to go. And then when you cool back, it's more ups. You know, we talk about that, you know, in a way it's more ups, and it's just tough when you're strictly a relief pitcher to get up and down and up and down and up and down and then come in and now it's on. It didn't happen to me a lot.
Yeah.
Cause I was one of the guys that could get ready like within like 10 pitches. So they waited to the last second when they knew they were making a change.
Sure.
But I can totally see where that it can be.
You're just kind of waiting, right? It's an adrenaline thing. You're like, I'm loose. I don't want to throw too much. I'm waiting. And then you just throw every once in a while just to stay loose. And so like it is like it's a difficult thing.
You could end up throwing, you know, 40 pitches if you're up and let's just say he got him up two or three different times. He could have thrown 60 to 70 pitches in the bullpen.
Or just it felt like kept him up. You know what I mean? Like, I had you out there. I guess you would, there's inning breaks and stuff like that. So, yeah, you would be up and down. Yeah.
But still, every time you get loose to go out to pitch, you're probably going to, a normal person in the bigs is probably going to throw 30 pitches to get ready to go in the game.
And then throw, 20, obviously, different types of pitches. Like, once you're in the game, it's a different pitch than when you're in the bullpen, right? So when you say, how many pitches did he throw? I mean, those are high intensity pitches rather than what you're doing in the bullpen. But I think there's a lot of things that we can look at on the baseball side of things, right? And I don't want to say like all of it's baseball, but like let's take front office. Let's take that type of stuff out of the equation. Like we're talking about baseball. We're talking about the guys playing the games, the coaches in the dugout, the day-to-day baseball things. And, you know, even things like this, Miles says, except Santana, he throws two and says, let's go. But like, the thing is like, even Santana wasn't available today in a normal situation for this team. He'd thrown back-to-back days, but like you have a series to win.
Yeah.
If you're 2-0 on the series, I could see saying like, let's go to Holderman here. We've already got this series. Let's save our guy in a way, right?
Yeah.
But like, no, you got a series to win. We got to get guys up. We're going to try to get there. But like the way they used Brucky was like, no, there's an urgency here. We have a series to win. We want this because Brucky's been great. Leave him in. But there's baseball things, right? Things that go on in the clubhouse and in the dugout and literally on the field, and those day-to-day things when you're working with these guys, those are the guys that are there. It doesn't matter who you signed in the offseason on May 11th. It doesn't matter. You have 26 guys right there right now, and your goal is to win a baseball game, regardless of how you were, how your roster is constructed. And like I said, we will have our criticisms on that. But those things aside, this team, you know, this team wasn't grinding. This team wasn't fighting. And I think we saw those kind of things. We still have an offense that struggles, Jake, but they fought. They played hard. They did different things in different situations that were effective and that were, you know, like someone said in the chat, like winning in the margins, actually. And like just different things like so crazy. But like, I think that the baseball piece of this throughout this whole thing has been overlooked by national, by local alike. There's a little bit of the baseball aspect of things, which we love. We love to talk baseball, right? Not just who cares, the roster stinks, right? We're breaking down baseball games.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot here that is the group that's there right now is better than 12-26. And so I'm glad they were early in this. In our opinion, late. They should have done this in the offseason.
Yeah.
But at least they were early in saying something has to change. The Rockies just fired Bud Black too today or yesterday, whatever it was, right after losing 21-0.
Yeah.
And it's like, is that going to fix it? The Rockies are in a worse spot than the Pirates.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, except we thought maybe this team could go 500, give or take five games, depending on who you are. And the Rockies didn't have a shot to do that with that. You know what I mean? But the thing is like, you're that bad. Like, try anything. If you don't fire your manager, you're not trying anything. You have to make a change.
Yeah.
You have to do something. And I think the Pirates were there too. Like, you have to, this can't continue. Change anything. And it's not enough, right?
No.
We could say, you know, you said right before we got on here, Mike Rabello needs to go, right? That, you know, I mean, whatever it is. But like, you could say Tarik Brock needs to go too. Because you could say, oh, he's the first base coach. Yeah, but he's also the outfield coach. What has our outfield defense done right now? It's been bad. It's all been bad. Like, we need a new outfield coach. This infield hasn't really been that good since they canned Joey Cora because he was a bad third base coach. But we forget that he was also the infield coach. And now the infield's bad. Save Kebron Hayes. But they're bad. You know what I mean? And so, like, what do you do here? There has to be more changes, but like, the more you blow up in season, the more the players feel of that. That type of blow up should have happened in the off season, so that when you came into spring training, everything was fresh, everything was new, everything was different. You still had the stink of those 5 years on that coaching staff, or most of it, right? Yeah. For some of them. But like, it still was there. Like, you changed the hitting coach, which is fine, whatever. Obviously, they've done better with runners in scoring position. They just don't ever get runners in scoring position. So like, there are some things we're seeing from the hitting coach, but like, the hitting coach can, you know, there's a lot there. Derek Shelton was a hitting coach, Jake. Hitting should have never been the problem.
Right. Right. So Clint Hurdle was a hitting coach too. And if things weren't getting done right, he'd step in.
Yeah, I mean, there's just I think that, like, saying that this didn't need to happen, and like I said, anybody local here, we're all saying it did.
Yeah.
But the national, absolutely, like, saying it didn't need to happen is really short-sighted. Like, you're saying that because you want us to lose 100 games.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only thing I can figure. This team's going to try anything. Like I said, they're never going to save this thing and go to the postseason. Outside of a miracle. And I don't even know what that looks like. I don't know who could play left field to make this team that good. Because I think that's the biggest hole. and I don't see a fix for it. There's nobody. They missed that. They should have signed. What are you going to do? That guy doesn't exist right now.
Right.
Unless Brian Reynolds turns it around, moves to left field, and you got Andrew McCutchen playing right field every day. Even then, I don't think that's like a major fix.
Yeah.
But there's not enough there to be that kind of a team.
That's interesting. I'll have to think about that one. About like, is there anybody that could fix it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, left field, they didn't go out and get it.
Right. Oh, no, yeah, 100%. But I'm just like thinking about like guys who might be available.
And you could get but guys that are better than Tommy Pham. Like you could do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There are guys in the system. Like Matt Gorsy, you go out there and I'd be like, at least it's different. You know what I'm saying? Like there are things you could do, but like whoever we got for that corner outfield spot should be hitting fourth on this team. It should have been a impact player. And they didn't do that. So like that guy's just going to be another guy. You know what I mean? Seth said, can Bubba hit still? Should we let Skeens hit?
No.
No. But I mean, I get it. Like that's what it feels like at times. You know what I mean? Mike says Hayes should lead off. They don't pitch to Cruz anymore. That's interesting. I don't think Hayes gets on base enough. I like what he does when he's buried. I think it's okay. He's not quite there yet offensively, but he moves runners. I like Hayes in like a two or a six hole, I think, in a way. You know what I mean? But that's not how the two holes used anymore. So you know what I'm saying? Like I just don't know that. I don't know that I really like Hayes there against lefties right now with Cruz out. I don't mind it. You have to do what you have to do. You got to figure something out. There's just not enough guys right now. But that's the thing that's like, Cruz has been so good at that leadoff spot, and I get it, but you only lead off once. After that, he's still going to get his opportunities to drive in runs. He's your best hitter because of the way Reynolds is playing. Get him the most at bats.
Well, you know, there's something to be said about shaking Reynolds a little bit too. I'm okay with moving Hayes up to leadoff and bumping just Cruz to two and Reynolds to three. Like, you got to try to do something else with Reynolds as well. Try to get him rolling.
I guess the thing is like, if you make a mistake to O'Neill Cruz early in the game, you're going to get a run right away.
Sure.
If you just walk him to start every game, that's actually fantastic. I'm not going to take the, but he could have hit a home run. Yeah, but get on base. And the way that he steals bases, which I am actually surprised about. I did not see that coming. I did not think he was going to be that good of a base stealer. Get him on base and then tell Brian Reynolds he's got a red light. Jakey's hit four balls in play swinging at the first pitch. They've all been double plays. I'm sorry. With Cruz on first and nobody on second, he swung at the first pitch several times, right? But in play, four double plays, four times in play. Stop swinging at the first pitch with Cruz on first. Give him an opportunity to steal.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're down 0-1, you're Brian Reynolds. Hit down 0-1. And I need to look into those. I need to look into those numbers, how Reynolds does when he starts 0-1. You know what I mean? Because there's been other at-bats that he's fouled off the first pitch, swinging at it. And then ended up still getting on base.
Yeah.
But like, take that strike. Give O'Neill Cruz an opportunity. If they throw a first pitch strike, that's fine. You can go after that.
Yeah, and I'm not. I love Cruz in the leadoff spot.
Right. No, and I'm mostly talking about Reynolds here, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't need Cruz to move out of the leadoff spot. But I think we need Reynolds to move out of the two spot, and the only other person you can put in the two spot is Cruz. And right now, with Hayes going a little good right now, I think now's a good time to go ahead and do it and just shake up Reynolds a little bit to try to get him going. Reynolds gets going, you can put him back in two, put, you know, you can
what if you put back. Key at, what if you put Key at two?
I don't like it as much.
But the way he goes to right field so much, like, that's a good recipe. You're moving runners up, you know what I mean?
I think the way I look at the two hole now is I'm starting to get into the mindset of the two hole hitter is the old school three hole hitter.
Right.
It's your best hitter.
You still want, and yeah. I mean, the thing is as soon as you move Reynolds down, and mind you guys, we're acting like Reynolds is not struggling this bad. I mean, I think there's another conversation to say, like, do we just move him out of the two hole because he's struggling? Right. When does Reynolds move out of the two hole because of the struggle? You know what I'm saying?
But
other than that, you know, you want your best hitters to get the most at bats. And that's the way that people are going with things right now. And I can't disagree with it. So,
I think moving him one spot, I don't think it hurts that bad enough, especially if it's just to, it's mainly because Reynolds is struggling right now. So you're trying to get him going. If he gets going, you can move it back.
Yeah. I mean, Tommy Pham made the last out Saturday. He was in the two hole for Reynolds after he got thrown out. Reynolds doesn't get thrown out. That last batter that we needed would have been Reynolds. So even one spot means that he would have been on deck when that game ended. You know what I'm saying? So like even one spot can make a difference in a game.
There. But you'd have Cruz there.
Well, you already had. Well, I don't. Did you already have Cruz? He was out of the game by then.
Yeah.
So, and he would have been the guy before that. So he still would have been there. He would have been before that.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, it's still like moving them. I don't know. Yeah, I get it.
And Reynolds isn't the guy I wanted up at the end of the game right there. He's struggling.
Reynolds hitting 200 on first pitch. Look at this. Bucko Mike looked it up. 308 on an 0-1 count. Now, I'll say this too, Bucko Mike. Like, that's actually like with an 0-1 count. So, like, it's really hard to look these numbers up. But if you start 0-1 and then you end up getting a hit on a 3-2 pitch, like I want to know what all of that is when you started 0-1. So the 0-for-2 or, you know, 0-2, he's got a 0 average. All that has to be considered with the 308. You know what I'm saying? Like that's all I'm saying is take that first strike. And I want to see how the rest of those at bats went after you took a first strike. But like even saying that, like even 308 with an 0-1 count is enough to say like, stop swinging at the first pitch, dude. Yeah. With Cruz on first and nobody on second. That's the other piece. That's the numbers I was looking up, right? Those are the things that, that I was putting together. I don't know if I can.
I'm just saying this. I'm never putting Bart above the four hole, ever. He is not one of our top three hitters.
Well, right now he certainly is, but I don't know, man.
I don't believe it.
Okay, but the way it's going, but either way, right? I was looking to see if I had those numbers. We're out of time, but it's been a while. We've been missing for a while, man.
Yeah.
So Miles says, why not Jake? I'll say why not here. Cause you don't believe in him. I'm saying like right now he is. And so like, even with that said, he's so slow and there's something to be said about like clogging up the bases too, that he just doesn't. Really, he needs to be the last one in a string. He needs to drive in runs. And that's the kind of thing like I want Bart there to drive in runs because I believe he can do that. I like Bart in the four hole right now. I wish I got more slug from him.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. So this was the last one. Does it have an updated number? Bottom of the third today, Cruz reached first on a fielder's choice, no one on second. Reynolds swung at the first pitch and flew out. Okay, so that's the first one. It says at least this time it was a 104.3 mile per hour, struck well. But again, first pitch in play, Reynolds has not gotten a hit. So that was the other day. In the second at bat, after he flew out, Cruz stole second. And the next at bat scored. Okay, give him an opportunity. Like, this is why you give him a chance to run. Because if he moves up to second, Reynolds, now all of a sudden, your base hit, if you can get a base hit, like, now you have a run, like, opportunity that you didn't have when he was at first. And you swung at the first pitch, and it's been, okay, so now 0-for-5 when he hits it in play with Cruz on first and nobody on second. Reynolds is 0 for 5 right now, swinging and hitting the first pitch in play. Four of them are double plays. You at some point you have to stop doing it.
Yeah.
Take a pitch.
Yeah.
But yeah.
If the numbers say the other way, then no, this conversation doesn't even happen.
100%. If you're doing well with it, I'm okay with it.
Exactly.
Me personally, I would have went into it saying give him a chance to run, but if you're having success, I ain't touching it.
Right.
Right. But you're having the opposite of it. So yeah. Yeah, it's really good. Listen, we're going to have the voices coming back. I'm going to do the shows this week, all week. So this is going to continue to happen. You're probably going to hear my voice get better and better and better and better. At least I hope so. I don't mind going long tonight. It's been a minute for us. A couple weeks. I'm telling you, man, I was down and out.
Yeah.
It was rough. And Jake knows, Jim, 2 weeks ago, Jim was on here with you. He heard me try to talk 2 weeks ago when we were before and after we were on there, and it was, you know what I mean? Yeah, there was nothing there. I got some Marge Simpson comments from people that I work with. Friday was when my voice started really popping back, and they were like, wow, it's like you aged like 15, 20 years overnight. You know what I mean? It was like, you sounded like a little kid. And I was barely talking, even work meetings. I was in we're in a meeting and I have to type all the things I want to say. And it was just brutal. But yeah. I'm glad to be back on here and hanging out. Thanks for the kind words, Mike. But we're going to do this all week. I'm going to be doing the shows and hopefully the voice just continues to get better and better. But hopefully the Pirates continue to get better and better. Listen, we're going to talk baseball. I understand if you're at the point where you're saying, man, this team's unwatchable, take a break, man. I'd still love it if you guys came back and hung out with us. If you listen to this, whenever you do, keep listening. Like, we'll tell you how it's going. But if you don't want to spend that 2.5-3 hours watching it, like, I get it, man. This team was supposed to be better than this, and they're not, and that's frustrating. So. Hey.
We'll let you know when it's worth watching again.
Yeah. I mean, for me though, and this is, I'm sick in the head. That's fine. I love baseball. I'm not going to stop. You know what I mean? I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch baseball. I'm not going to, I can't deprive myself of that. I like it too much. If it's bad, we get to analyze how bad it is. If it starts to get good, we'll, you know, be excited about it. But either way, there's a game every day. You get an opportunity to play. And that's the beauty of the whole thing.
Yeah.
As somebody said today, once it was a tie game, they said on Twitter, they were like, yeah, unfortunately, I don't think the Pirates are going to score another run this game. I agreed in my head, but I said, that's why they play the games. And then after they won, I just tweeted back, that's why they play the games. And it's like, because you did, like, you have to play them out.
Yeah.
And you just never know. So, well, it looks like Bucko Mike is done hearing me. He said, relax the voice until Sunday. I get it. We'll see. Listen, I like I said, I'm sick in the head. If I can't talk, if this is rough, I'll skip a day. I'm not, you know, I skip 2 weeks. I'm not going to overdo it. But I love talking baseball. Love hanging out with you guys. Jake, you have anything else before we get out of here?
Oh, man. Bucks win the series. It's good. Just good to see, man. When's the last time we won a series? It's been a minute.
Anaheim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a minute. Well, yeah, I'm back in Donnie Kelly right now. Let's go.
Yeah. So far so good. Offense still has a lot to do. We got to get some guys off the IL. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We got to get Bubba Chandler here. There's still things to get excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Bubba Chandler, if you're not watching, like, you tune in when he comes up.
Yeah.
Those debuts, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those are always special. But we'll see if they've got any fire in them. We'll see if they've got any fire in them still.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Good to be back, man.
Yeah.
Good to be back talking baseball. Good to be back talking in general, but talking baseball, obviously, great. Appreciate everybody in the chat. You guys are absolutely amazing. Anybody listening this week, we're gonna try to spin them out this week.
Yeah, boy.
All right, let's go, Bucks.
Let's go, Bucks.
Thanks for listening to my dad and Uncle Jake on the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Bridge2Bucktober. Don't forget to subscribe so you know when new episodes are released. Clear the deck. Cannonball coming. And let's go, Bucks.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.